Fucking crazy. Warning. You might hear a plane or two. I went into the room that's like the farthest away from the airport.
Sure.
But
from the airport. You
might hear a plane or two. It's just like landing, lifting off, going out.
That's okay.
I'll hold for plane. Make it a plane while I'm here.
Also,
I'm like, whoop, hold for plane.
There is a lawnmower. Someone is mowing the lawn outside. A couple minutes ago, it was really loud. So I hope.
Oh, yeah, back. I know what you mean. I've been there. He wakes me up a lot.
Yeah, him.
I wake up and it's the lawnmower guy, and I'm like, okay, good morning to you too, sir.
Yeah, exactly. So.
And I don't even think he's like mowing the lawn. I think he's just like blowing leaves. It's
blowing
a leaf blower.
You know, same.
It's a leaf blower, which honestly, leaf blowers are the dumbest machine ever.
What are you talking about?
What the fuck is the point of blowing the leaves?
Get them out of the driveway. If you
they
have,
get there by wind. If you blow them out, they'll get there again. Why not just literally pick them up? Why not, instead of
that's less efficient,
blowing them, just invent a machine that'll absorb them instead of blowing them away? Like, it's so dumb. What leaf blowers are annoying me. They're useless. They're so useless. People just get a leaf blower and they go around blowing leaves. How do you think they got there in the first place? Because of the wind. The wind's not going to disappear. The wind's just going to bring them back. So,
look, I totally
pick them up the first time around.
Look, I totally agree with the idea that leaf blowers are dumb. I think the idea is that boomers want their driveways or their sidewalks to look
pick them up
clean. Yeah, but they don't want to like bend over and like the back, man. Like,
that's why, instead of like, use the same concept of a leaf blower, but just like, instead of blowing them, a leaf absorber.
Yeah, like a vacuum or something.
Yeah, a vacuum, but for leaves.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we just don't have those. I don't know. One of the great mysteries of life.
One of the great mysteries. Yeah, leaf blowers. Who
Why
thought of that?
Why not leaf sucker?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyways, welcome back to the podcast.
We're a regular podcast now. That's what every podcast does. We just start talking about something, recording it. It doesn't even have to be about anything. We just talk about leaf blowers, whatever.
I just really had to talk about leaf blowers.
It's an important topic that needs to be discussed.
I just really had to get my thoughts out there because it's something that bothers me, I think, every single day that I'm alive.
Well, yeah, because it's relevant every day. Because
exactly,
wakes up every
you
morning.
Always see someone blowing leaves, and it's like, what are you doing? What's the point of this? And if you're trying to walk on the sidewalk and there's someone blowing leaves, they have to stop, because then if not, they're just blowing leaves into you.
Yeah, and they can also blow dirt into your eyes.
Exactly,
too, which is
they're so worthless.
Which is terrifying. So.
Their existence is worthless. Yeah. They have to stop and they have to point it down so you can walk, because if not, then they're gonna blow dirt and leaves,
potentially blind you for life. Yeah,
literally. What if one of those leaves can be sharp? What if they just like happen to cut your cornea?
Look, I don't think that would happen, but I
it could
understand the
it could
the
you
the
get
danger.
Paper cuts, you could get leaf cuts. It happens.
It's a genuine
it
danger.
Is.
It's a fear.
It scares me. You know how you're scared of like deep ocean and deep water? I'm scared of leaves, all
but
right?
But that's like a relevant.
Especially leaves blown by leaf blowers.
Okay, but the fear of leaves and the fear of deep ocean are like two different levels, man. Like,
I know, but to
deep
me,
ocean
they're not.
Is
to
like
me,
legit.
The same way that, you know, you're never going to find yourself in deep ocean.
I would say that
not by your own will, but
okay.
I find myself, I could say that being scared of leaves blowing into my eyes is a more worrisome thing than just being into deep ocean, because I can encounter that any single day that I'm alive. The odds are slightly less on your favor on whether you'd find yourself in deep ocean or not.
Look, I would say that
my fear is more acceptable.
Yeah, I would say that my irrational fear of, like, squirrels is, like, on par with the leaves, to be honest. Because the squirrel will literally never do anything. The squirrel is, like, terrified of me. But it's just that irrational fear that something could get into my eyes. It's the same thing with the leaves. The leaves are never going to get near your eyes. But it's the fear that they could get into
your eyes. And squirrels can have rabies. They could go crazy.
Yeah, but they're not going to get near a human, is what I'm saying. I would.
If they have rabies, then you don't know what they're gonna do.
Well, don't make my fear worse, okay? Don't my fear is squirrels and rodents worse, okay?
Yeah, you don't want to encounter a rabid squirrel.
Yeah, fuck that. I don't want to encounter a regular squirrel, but.
I assume you're not a fan of Alvin and the Chipmunks.
The movie's fine.
What's the difference between squirrels and chipmunks?
Chipmunks got the little, like, stripes on their back.
And for someone who fears them, you know a lot about them.
I don't know. Look, when I was very young, I wanted to be...
Isn't there a saying that goes, like, you have to, like, know your, like, get to know your fear or like, something like that? No, face your fear? I don't know.
Face your fear and it'll disappear. I just know...
What?
That's something that my dad...
That's how it ends? Face your fear and you'll disappear?
No, face your fear and it'll disappear.
Oh, I thought you said face your fear and you'll disappear. And I was like, your fear, what?
You'll disappear. You're gone. It's over. Fine. No, face your fear and it'll disappear, which I think is bullshit also, but whatever.
I think so too.
Well, I think that's only true of, like, roller coasters.
We'll see in next episode when Riley becomes friends with the squirrel.
No. It'll never happen. Okay, but what I was saying about the chipmunks, why I know so much about them, is because I did want to be like a zoologist / paleontologist when I was a kid.
Oh, ew.
So I know, what do you mean, ew? So I know a lot about...
Boring.
You're boring. I know a lot about...
See, now tell us how you ended up in theater, Riley.
And dinosaurs. My mom was in theater, and she gave me the gene, I guess. I don't know.
The jazz hand gene?
The jazz hand gene? Yeah, I love jazz hands. But yeah, I don't know. I wanted to, I don't know, study animals when I was a kid. So that's what I did. So if you ever need an animal fact, you just... So
how much does a whale weight?
A lot.
Like number. Give me a number.
Tons upon tons. Well, I need to look it up then. Like, what kind of whale?
I don't think I care enough. Anyways, that's the welcome you gotta back, choose which whale boy. You're going for. Shut up. I don't care enough. Welcome back, boys and girls and humans.
Mostly girls, but yeah.
And non-binaries. Who am I to choose what you are? Welcome back to another episode of this podcast that we do here. This is our first ever virtual episode, I guess.
Yeah, it's virtual.
This is our first ever virtual separated, not together episode. We are recording over our phones.
We're
not
using
in the
some
room,
app.
So if they... What did you say?
I said we're using some kind of app. Not going to say what.
Right.
But...
Right. So if there are technological issues, it's not my fault. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not claiming any of that. Not claiming to be able to solve or understand or even...
No responsibility.
Yeah, it's off my hands. So sorry.
Exactly.
If it's weird, I'm so sorry. But, like, actually, like, not, I don't really care. Anyways, today we're gonna be talking about two movies.
Yeah.
Only two. I know, crazy. But we're gonna be talking about two movies. 101 Dalmatians, two scams. No.
Not scams.
Patch's London Adventure.
Ooh.
Woo! Exactly. Yeah. Be excited. And Woo. The Jungle Book 2.
Woo, yeah.
Woo.
No further title needed, just the Jungle Book 2.
I mean, Electric Boogaloo? What do you want me to say?
Electric Boogaloo? Sure, yeah.
Or, you know, the what is it? The Force Awakens.
Oh, the Force Awakens. Attack of the Clones.
No, what's the second part? You know,
the
like
second
episode
part of
which 5.
One? Oh,
episode
Empire
5.
Strikes Back.
Okay, JK. It's... Okay,
Jungle
it's
Book
101.
Two,
okay,
Back.
we're gonna be talking about 101 Dalmatians 2, Patches London Adventure, Electric Boogaloo, and then the Jungle Book 2, Shere Khan Strikes Back.
Shere Khan Strikes Back. I like
that. There we go. John did that.
It works.
It works. So let's get on with it. It's been a 20-minute preamble. So it's just...
Plus the, like, 15 minutes that we talked about fucking lawnmowers. Leaf blowers.
I have no problems with lawnmowers.
Okay.
101 Dalmatians 2! Yay! Woo-hoo. Clap it up. Okay. Riley, I'll give this one to you. Mm. Or do you want me to start?
I can start. I mean...
Go ahead. Tell us all your thoughts about it, Riley. Tell us every nitty-gritty little bitty little detail.
Okay. So first, I'll start with one of your thoughts that you had. The like moment we started.
Well, that's dumb. Why are you still in my thoughts?
Which is to say, well, it's the first note I have, which is to say that the dogs are more British in this.
Everyone is more British.
Every animal, oh, except for Cruella. Cruella's the same voice actor.
No.
I didn't notice any further British accent in her character.
Everyone is just more British.
Everyone is more British, and we even had to, like, question and go back if 101 Dalmatians, the original, is set with like, British voice actors. And, like, they do sound British, but, like, not that British.
Not, they're, yeah. Like, not that. Like, this is, like, exaggerated British. This is, like, a bad British accent of, like, a person trying to sound British and then turning it up to 102.
Like, Pongo is British in the first one, but he's, like, posh, like, super British in this one. Like, exaggerated British accents. So that's like the first thing I noticed while watching this movie. Well, it's the first thing that you noticed, but it's the first thing that, you know, really
you wrote down. So you're still in my thoughts. Okay.
I am. Yeah. Correct. But so this movie's about Patch, who I always call Spot, but his name is Patch. And he loves the Thunderbolt cartoon, I guess. It's not a cartoon, a TV show with Thunderbolt and Lightning and
little
Corgi Lightning.
Yes.
And the whole idea of the movie is that just like Scamp and Mowgli and all these other characters, it's this bratty little kid being like, I hate my lovely house with my parents and my brothers and sisters and caretakers, and I just want to leave because
I want to explore the world.
An
adventure.
The whole movie starts from a misunderstanding because Pongo talks in his sleep. Right? So Patch is, you know, complaining to himself while he's asleep while everyone else is asleep. He's like, "Man, should I just like am I even special or whatever?" And he's like whispering to his dad who's counting in his sleep. Because he counts all of his children, his 101 kids or whatever.
99.
Yeah, but for some reason he gets to 101.
Oh, yeah, he does. He does. Wait, he's that's like, weird. Why did he do that?
He gets
there. There are only 99 kids. Where are the other two coming from?
I don't know. But the idea is that Pongo is like counting asleep. Like you can hear him before Patch.
He's so tired
Patch.
At this point.
You can hear Patch. Yeah, he must be exhausted with all those fucking kids, dude. I can't even imagine. Ugh. But he's like counting. He's
I don't
like,
think 90, anyone can.
He's like 98, 99. And then Patch walks over. He's like, am I even special or whatever? I don't remember exactly what he says.
But he's like, he's just like, am I just the one or like one of a kind? Or am I just part of 101 something?
And then Pongo's like, 101, like in his sleep. And he's like, you're right, Dad. I'll just leave.
Patch is like, damn. Yeah, that checks out.
And Patch leaves, and he goes to Thunderbolt's, like, audition for, like, getting on TV. There's an advertisement about that Thunderbolt is going to be in London. And I guess Thunderbolt is, like, an American, like, TV show, right? So him being in London is, like, a rare thing. So he goes over to the auditions and tries to be Thunderbolt's, like, I don't know, like, companion, except Lightning is his companion.
Well, we find out later that they're just trying to find a new dog to replace Thunderbolt.
Yeah.
Thunderbolt doesn't even know what the audition is about. No one knows. Exactly. They just think they're going to have, like, a cameo in the show, I think.
Yeah, just, like, one episode.
But no one really knows until later. We find out that they were trying to cast someone to replace Thunderbolt.
Yeah, exactly. So he gets there, he does his thing, he has this little, like, pipsqueak bark, which, you know, is pretty pathetic, but it's what Thunderbolt then...
He's a puppy!
...notices later, okay? And then Thunderbolt goes back to his trailer after the auditions are over, and he finds out that he's being replaced.
Oh, no.
I don't remember how he finds out. Do you remember?
I think... It's a little lightning that
does lightning say something?
Yeah, he's because I thought lightning was like the manager for some.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I thought he was the manager dog instead of being like another character in the show, like the sidekick.
Yeah.
I thought he was his manager. So he was telling Thunderbolt then that he was gonna get replaced, and I was like, "Oh, manager took an executive decision here." But then I was like, "Oh, wait, JK, he's just another actor."
Yeah.
But no, it's definitely Lightning, and that's what made me think he was a manager because he was just telling him
without him knowing
that his contract was ending.
Yeah, exactly. So he finds out he's gonna be replaced, and then he is trying to like. Not be replaced by like doing heroic acts in London or whatever.
He's just awful at it because he's just an actor and he has no real like
training. Yeah, so everything he does is scripted. Hero. So he's like, I can't do it because there's no script. But Patch comes around and he's like, don't you remember what you did in that episode? You remember episode 29?
You remember?
Remember episode 29? Well, that's like kind of, I don't know. It was very disturbing.
No, it is that exaggerated.
It's super exaggerated. So he remembers all of the episodes and he's memorized all
of
them.
And that's why Thunderbolt is like, this is someone that I could have around because they remember better than me. You know, us actors, we do a role and then we immediately forget about it.
Forget everything.
Yeah, we just forget it. Just erase it from your brain. You don't need to remember that anymore in your life ever again.
Yeah, so then there's this whole montage of Patch and Thunderbolt going around and Thunderbolt being like, I don't remember, and Patch being like, yeah, you remember, and this episode, you know, and then he does
random things. But which, now, while that is happening,
yeah,
we get the other side of the story, which starts with Corella in her busted-ass car. Just her busted car. She gets on and she listens to the song that Roger wrote about her. And for some reason, she doesn't like that. If I had a song written about me, it doesn't matter if it's about how, you know, evil I am.
Yeah, but it's about how awful you are.
Yeah, I don't care. It's a song about me and they're using my full name. So it can't be confused with any other Cruella. It is Cruella the Vil.
Yeah, all the other Cruellas in the world.
Yeah, exactly. I can't be confused with any other Cruella in the world. I don't give a shit if it's talking about how awful I am. It's still a song about me.
Yeah, and sure.
Bad press, still press.
True.
So, you know. But yeah, she gets on her busted ass car. She starts driving down the street and she sees an art exhibit. And she goes in and it's like the funniest moment where she just notices just one painting in the middle of the room and she walks towards it and it's a single black spot in a white canvas.
Yeah.
And then the artist of the painting, he shows up behind her and he's like, what do you see? And she just goes, everything. She just goes, everything. And he's like, yeah, no, you get me. That's like, so funny. That she just
someone understands.
Yeah, she's like, light and dark and the possibility of winning, but the possibility of losing. And I'm like, Cruella, it's a spot.
I fucking love that so much. I love their dynamic and how
it is very funny.
Doesn't care at all. But the artist is like trying to be super artsy and is like, you finally get me. Somebody understands. Yeah. It's not just
and
a
then
dot.
And he takes her to a whole other room full of a bunch
canvas.
Of other spots, paintings.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, sir, someone understands it. But it's so funny because I remember this line that when she gets into the room, she sees all the other paintings of like spots on blank canvases, you know, her whole aesthetic. And that's when she finds like there's something missing about it, and that's why they start working together and him like drawing things for her. But she notices there's something missing about it. And I remember her saying, like, she's like, the spots are not soft enough. cuddly enough, like something you want to squeeze the life out of.
Dude, when she said that,
she said
that. She's, I love Cruella so much.
So psychotic, and I love her. I will say though,
squeeze the life out of.
They're not soft enough and cuddly enough, like something you want to squeeze the life out of.
Yikes.
That awful woman. I will say though that I hate, like, and this is like kind of unrelated but kind of related, just the same as in the same like thought as the accents, the animation also doesn't translate. Like we talked about it during Cinderella 2, like mm-hmm. The animation doesn't translate. But for this, like, I was looking at Cruella and she just looks too clean.
Yeah.
She looks like her animation just looks too clean. Like, it's okay for Roger and Purdy's
the name of the dog.
Anita. And yeah, Anita. Purdy, and they all look clean, and that's all right, because they're the good characters, but Cruella is the evil character, and she looks just, like, too clean. She looks kind of, like, curvy under her big fur coat, and that's so weird. Cruella has a ratchety, discombobulated body. Don't give her a curvy body. Body's just, yeah, she's just a ratchety old woman. Don't try to make her look good. She just looked too clean.
Yeah.
And I didn't enjoy it.
I'd agree. I didn't really notice that as much as you did, but I do, like, understand.
I notice women's bodies and our representation in media. Okay.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. Yeah, because she's supposed to be this ratchety old woman, as you said.
She is! And in the first movie, they do her great. She does look as ratchety as possible.
Yeah. I don't think it's as noticeable as it was in, like, Cinderella 2.
It's definitely not as noticeable, but, like, I was watching it and I was like, huh. It's just the same way that, you know, they start talking, and I was like, this sounds a little bit too British.
Yeah.
Although, it's funny that you used it as your first point, but when I pointed it out, you were just like, no, they sound the same. And we had to go back for you to be like, JK, they sound actually, like, a lot more British.
Well, I think the question is if they're British at all. I remember being like,
right. Yes.
They were British, right?
Yeah, I didn't remember them. Because in the first one, the British accents just weren't that fucking exaggerated. So, of course, we wouldn't remember and recall them being that British.
Yeah, exactly.
So I was like, were they British the whole time? But apparently they were. And that's why Patch was having his London adventure.
Exactly. It's a London adventure. It's nowhere else in the world.
It's a London. And at the end of the movie, they are driving one of the red buses.
Yeah.
What's more London than that?
London?
Do we ever see the Big Ben?
Probably. In the background.
At
Thunderbolt's audition, which is in, like, a park, I think you see Big Ben in the background. Yeah.
If you're ever going to do anything in London, there's two things you need to have. A big red bus and Big Ben. If you don't, then are you actually in London? Are you even there?
If you don't see the tower. If you don't see it.
Yeah. Literally, if it's the same thing with Paris. If you ever film anything and you want to say it's in Paris, if I don't see the Eiffel Tower, I'm not believing that you're in Paris.
Yeah, if you don't see...
I don't care if everything around you is in French. If I don't see the Eiffel Tower in the back, it's not Paris. You're lying to my face.
If you don't see the Arc de Triomphe or the Eiffel Tower...
Or the Louvre.
Or like a baguette, you're not
right. Paris. Or a beret.
Or a beret, exactly.
Or just some a random with a mustache mime.
With a beret.
Or a mime with a beret and a mustache and a striped shirt.
With a baguette.
And the red tie.
In the Eiffel Tower.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you don't see that, you're not in France.
Yep.
You're not
in Paris. Might as well just be in America. Might as well. But yeah. No, I like Cruella and I don't even remember the artist's name, but...
I don't.
Did they
ever give him a name?
I think he has some weird... artsy, I think he's French name, but I don't remember.
Probably. He doesn't sound French.
We'll just call him.
He also doesn't sound British.
No, he doesn't. I think he's supposed to be French.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless,
sure. Again, every artist is from France.
Yeah, exactly. He does this whole his whole escapade with like trying to impress Cruella or whatever. Mm-hmm. Little does he know that she wants to skin Dalmatian puppies. Right.
The art is not cuddly and soft enough.
Yeah, and so and there's all these.
You can't squeeze the life out of it.
Mm-hmm. And he does all these sort of impressive, like the amount of things that he does with just dots on a blank canvas is pretty funny. In the next like montage, he even does like the nice little Mickey Mouse reference thing.
Yep.
With the big dot and the two dots on the top, and there's that whole thing. And this is all going on while Patch and Thunderbolt are doing all these heroic things. Quote unquote
heroic.
Correct. Yeah. And then what happens? I don't remember how the story progresses.
Then I think simply just Cruella realizes that, you know, the art is not going to fuel her addiction to skinning puppies.
Yes.
So she goes to the jail and she goes to the guys from the first movie.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's the same people. They're not even bringing new characters except from like the art guy. But she goes to the same two men from the first movie because I guess it's the only other two people ever to want to skin puppies almost as much as Cruella wants to.
I mean, you know, there shouldn't be that many people that
exactly.
want
to
do that.
That's why she's the only one she can trust. They're the only ones she can trust.
Exactly.
So she goes get them, and then one of them for some reason dresses up as a woman to go to the farm where the puppies... Wait, because that's another... Wait a second. We didn't address this.
What?
Patch doesn't, like, willingly go out. He, like, wants to go to the audition, but he gets left behind when everyone's moving.
Oh,
it's literally a mistake that not even Pogo realizes.
Pongo.
Who's Pogo? There's a Pogo in some movie that I'm remembering. Pogo. Not even Pongo realizes that Patch is missing until, like, they look at the newspaper and they're like, wait a second, that's my son. But we thought this entire time Patch just left on his own. But literally, no, he just gets left behind because with 99 puppies to take care of course one of them is going to get lost. And also another thing, they realize this Patch from looking at the newspaper. But like, this is something that we talked about when we were watching the movie. There has to be more than one Dalmatian puppy out there with a spot over one of his eyes. Just saying, Patch is not that unique as a puppy.
Well, in the movie, they make it so that he's the only one with the patch on his eye.
I don't think in the first movie they did that, because remember Mandy, our other roommate, she was telling us that they only designed 16 separate like puppies, and then they just like doubled. Yeah, they just copy and pasted.
Yeah.
All of them. So in the first movie, there had to be more than one puppy with a patch on his eye.
Maybe.
With an eye patch design.
Well, but I think that...
Is that just exclusive to Patch?
Well, I think Patch and Rolly are the two, like,
puppies. Distinct ones?
Yeah.
Because... So you're telling me there's also no other fatter dogs? No other chubby doggos? They're all athletic except for poor old Rolly.
Yeah.
They're both just named after their one discerning quality.
Yeah.
Fat and has an eye patch.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. No, wow. I think that Disney was like, all right, let's have two characters that we can use, and then the rest of them are just nameless Dalmatians.
You know how easy it is to name a puppy? Any 5-year-old can do it. Why can't you do it? Group of men.
They probably had grown men. Names for the puppies, but they didn't use any of them. It's just Patch and Rolly. No,
anyways, Rolly. So the men go and steal the puppies. Yeah. Again. Somehow they can again.
Well,
because, you know, Anita and Roger are out looking for Patch. Because at this point, they finally realize their pupper is missing.
Well, and they steal the dogs in the night, too.
Yeah.
They steal one of those trucks. They steal one of the crunchy trucks, right?
Yeah.
And then they have, like, an ice cream, like, sounding. Like, it sounds like the ice cream man is there. But it's just for, like, the crunchies, right?
Fun.
And the dogs all wake up, and then they go, and Pongo and Purdy don't for some reason. But all the puppies are like, ooh, Crunchy.
Pongo and Purdy are not there.
Are they with the humans?
Are yes, they with they're with and... Anita and Roger. They're looking for Patch.
Yeah, because the maid is the only one who's there.
Yeah, she's the only one still there.
Yeah, okay. So the puppies go into the car to get the Crunchies, and there's no Crunchies. And the maid tries to stop them again, and she gets tied up and lowered down a well.
They just want to drown her, straight up.
Yeah.
This man not only skinned puppies, but they just drowned old ladies.
Yeah. So they get the puppies.
And great job description.
They take them back to the hideout with...
it's the art gallery.
Yes. And then the art guy is like, I'm not going to skin these puppies.
Right, because like, Cruella makes it seem as like she's bringing the puppies for inspiration. She's like, I brought you a present. And he's like, a present for me? She's like, yeah it's for inspiration. The present of inspiration. So he goes and he sees the puppies. He's like, oh, they're so cute. Which at least someone cares about. Someone in that group of people cares about the puppies. He's like, oh, they're so cute. But then Cruella's like, no, we're going to make art with them.
Yeah, with their skin.
Yeah. Like, and then he's like, what do you mean? And then I love how the other two guys, they just start naming ways to like get the skin out of the puppies.
Yeah. So then they tie up the art guy. Which was funny.
Right, because he said, you're never going to do anything to these puppies if I can say something about it.
If I can say anything about it, yeah.
And then they muzzle him.
They tie up his mouth, yeah. Oh, and then they do the whole dog thing again.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They do that dumb shit again where they're just like howling at night just to get the message. Which, honestly, kind of upsetting. Like, they do that entire thing again. Which in the first movie, it led back to the colonel and his cat companion. Yeah. And they're the ones that go rescue the puppies. And they were funny. They were a great duo. Yeah. And they don't even bring them back in this movie. They do the whole same thing that got to them in the first place. And they don't even bring Colonel and the cat back.
Yeah, the sergeant. Cat or whatever.
Sergeant cat. They don't even bring them back. What kind of bullshit is that?
But the idea is that the message gets Thunderbolt and Patch,
yes. And then they go to such a dumb way. Do we really have to have another like 5 minute scene on how, you know, the dogs howl to communicate with each other? It's so dumb.
Yeah, it's pretty obnoxious.
Just fucking text. Just send the text.
Send him a text, man.
Patch is a teen. He probably has his phone on him.
Yeah,
he's probably posting all his adventures with Thunderbolt on his Snapchat story. Just send him a text. He'll check his phone.
All the kids these days with their phones. They've all got phones.
Literally.
Yeah, exactly.
The kids.
They get the message, and they go to save the puppies. And Thunderbolt's like, I can't do any of this thing, man.
Right, so that's when he finally admits he's not a real hero.
Yeah.
The show is all fake. And Patch, his whole reality... just shattered.
Destroyed, yeah. Oh, and Lightning comes and joins them, too. Because Lightning wants to get rid of Thunderbolt.
Right.
Right? So Lightning is like, all right, I can get rid of Thunderbolt.
Right, because when Thunderbolt goes missing, the actual manager, the human manager man.
Yeah.
He realized, yeah, not Lightning's not the manager after all. The actual human manager man, he's like, I have to find someone to, you know, be the star of the show if I can't have Thunderbolt. So that's when he decides... Oh, plane. He decides that...
Oh, hold the plane?
It's you can barely hear it. But
yeah,
no,
I can't
hear it. He decides that Lightning could be a great replacement, which, again, fuck off. It's a corgi.
Yeah.
The hell's a corgi gonna
Lightning
do?
Is this little corgi bitch dog, whereas Thunderbolt is this cool-looking... I don't even know what breed he is, but... I don't know. What is he, like a... German Shepherd kind of
I think so.
Thing? Yeah. I think he's supposed to be a German Shepherd.
Yeah, he is a German Shepherd.
Yeah. And Lightning is this little... bitch corgi. And I'm sorry, corgis just aren't cool. Like, they're cute, but they're not like
a German Shepherd.
Yeah,
they're not German Shepherds. All Dalmatians are cool dogs.
Dalmatians are cool, yeah. But I'll say that the other thing, Lightning reminds me of Bolt, and that really depresses me.
Lightning is just bold, and it's just he's just annoying. And yeah. I did say this while watching the movie. One way that I would like Lightning better, if he was voiced by Josh Gad.
Yes, you did say that, yeah.
It would be so much better if Josh Gad voiced Lightning. He already sounded like, huh?
I totally agree.
Yeah, as you should. He already kind of sounds like Josh Gad, but if it was actual Josh Gad voicing him, I'd sit down and watch Corgi try and be a superhero. But only if it's Josh Gad. If it's not Josh Gad, I don't want it. Disney?
Yeah.
I'm giving you great ideas. Like $1,000 ideas. So.
Yeah, $1,000 ideas.
Yeah. I need $1,000 for this idea.
And like $1 million ideas, but like $1,000.
You're right.
Just thousands. Like yeah. we don't need millions.
I'll give you the intellectual property for $1,000. Yeah, and then you can make your millions. I don't care. But yeah. I'll give you the property for $1,000.
Yeah. So Lightning goes with like to find Thunderbolt and Patch and like help, quote unquote, but like really just like get Thunderbolt like out of there.
Yeah. I don't know if he has to kill him.
Well, it's funny.
He also wants him to be skinned.
Well, because Thunderbolt, Lightning, and Patch are sitting on top of the roof of the building that the puppies are being held in.
Right.
And Thunderbolt's like, what do we do? And Patch is like, we need to sneak, just like in this episode, you know, all that good
this
stuff.
And he's like,
that's a great idea. And Lightning is like, no, we need to, like, you're a superhero. You need to charge in like an
idiot. Go to the front door. Do it.
Yeah, exactly. And Thunderbolt's like, you're right. And he goes in. And
yeah,
he does
Thunderbolt's
his little bark.
Also pretty dumb.
Yeah, he does his little bark thing.
As we actors are.
Exactly. And Cruella smacks him in the face, just like knocks him out.
With like a paint can.
With a bucket of paint, yeah. He gets thrown in the cage with Patch.
He like announces
his betrayal. He's like, this is my show now, and he runs off. And Thunderbolt's like...
Which is the same thing that Buster did in the other movie.
Yes.
He, like,
true.
Gets them in trouble, and then they're like, help me. And the Buster / Corgi man say, nah.
Yeah, except Patch isn't, like, Patch isn't the bitch this time. It's Thunderbolt. Thunderbolt's the one that gets betrayed.
Yeah,
and,
it's
like,
Camp
Patch
and
too.
Thunderbolt. Patch is just, meh.
Exactly. So, Patch is just there. But he's better because he does a little pep talk thing.
Yeah, because he's actually not a bitch like Thunderbolt.
Yeah, exactly. And he gets out of the little cage somehow. I think he does something from another Thunderbolt episode, and everything that he does he just takes from Thunderbolt episode.
It's so annoying. The entire movie he's just like, in episode blah blah blah, you get this. It's like, exactly. Oh, shut the fuck up, this is all you know, this is all your small Dalmatian brain is worth for.
Yeah.
Recalling whatever someone did in a specific episode. I have watched, it's like one of my favorite shows. I've watched it a million times. I'm currently rewatching it for like the 100 million and then one time. And not even I can like name you what they did on every specific episode. Like, why is Patch's brain being used for this?
Patch is just a bigger fan than you are, I guess.
Whoa.
He's a better fan, I guess.
Whoa.
That's the only solution, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So Patch knows every episode. I also think that probably Thunderbolt has less episodes in his series.
Naming seasons too, so he clearly has more than one season.
Well, yeah. I think he went up to like 60 something episode. Like, I don't remember.
What's the breakdown of Thunderbolt's show? How many seasons? How many episodes per season? I need to know these kinds of facts.
Well, Patch knows.
Patch doesn't tell me, so.
Well,
I'm saying Amanda, need to know. Patch doesn't tell me.
Patch, just go ask him after the pod.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go and get in contact with Patch. I'll get back to you guys next episode. I'll let you know what Patch says.
Yeah, let us know what Patch tells you.
Yeah, it'll be hard trying to communicate with London. No, not the dog part, just the London part.
COVID,
I could teach I could teach, because he just has to give me like number answers, because you know, dogs can understand humans just fine.
Just get him on like a Zoom call.
Yeah, I'll make sure. I'll talk to Roger. I'll be like, hey, can you hop on Zoom real fast? And he'll let me talk to Patch.
Exactly.
Would Patch be an old man now? Do you think he still has that memory of
that
when
movie
he was a child?
Isn't that old? So he's probably.
So he'd be like a teen. Well, even like... as a teen, I don't recall things that. Well, I'm not a teen anymore, but even as a 20-year-old, I don't recall things that I recalled when I was like 10.
He'd be pretty old. He'd be like 13, yeah. 14. Like in dog years, that's like.
Guys, I might not be able to communicate with him as I thought I would.
Because he might be gone.
Oh, too old to remember.
Oh, well, I was going to say, yeah, okay, well, there you go. That's fine.
No, not that's... again, not about the dog, not about the London thing. It's just he's too old to remember that.
Yeah.
Anyways.
He takes every...
So then he opens the cages where his brothers and sisters are at. Which also something, like, why not just, like, you know, give them away? Like, there's 99 of them. You already had, like, 16. That's enough puppies already. And then you were like, yeah, let's take 99. They moved to a barn just to be able to accommodate 101 dogs. Why not just give something away? Like, you remember in the first movie when, like, Purdy and Pongo were, like, super scared and traumatized and they just wanted to get their kids back? Why aren't there other Dalmatians also wanting to have their kids back? Because Cruella already had all of those other puppies waiting there. So where are the other Dalmatian parents? And why can't they communicate with the other dogs to be like, okay, so I heard y'all rescued my children. Can I just, like, have them back or something? I would not have 101 dogs. I'd give most of them away. It's already enough with the two dogs. Like, I get it. Like, Cruella's gonna skin them, but she is taking them off their hands and paying them for it.
Yeah, I guess that is the one thing. It's like they need to keep them so that Cruella won't instantly just snatch them up afterwards.
I guess, but like...
But then none of the other owners or, like, dogs come to, like, get their puppies. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess they sold them in the first place. Anyways.
But
so yeah. He rescues his brothers and sisters because now they're all one big happy 101 people family.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they all kind of escape because the room is filled with paintings that matches their fur, I guess. Yeah. That's how they explain that bullshit.
Yeah.
And then they jump on a trampoline and they escape through the ceiling. Out of all places, they go through the ceiling. They get on a bus. They steal a bus and then they pull a Toy Story where they just, like, somehow drive the bus, even though they're a bunch of puppies. They pull a Toy Story, they drive the bus, yeah. And that's the end of the movie? That's
well, it. No, they get cornered in, like, an alleyway.
They do.
Yeah, but then Thunderbolt comes and saves.
Oh, true. Well, that's right? Unimportant. To me, that was the end of the movie.
But Thunderbolt's redemption is important, though.
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
Right? So he's like, well, I'm an actor. I can at least act like a hero or whatever. Sure. And he saves him. And
fucking sure, man. I don't know. All I know is that at the end, they send Cruella to, like, a psychiatric...
Like a mental
like a mental like institute,
mental
yeah.
asylum, which she yep. deserves to be in. But...
Yeah, well, I mean, yes, she wants to skin puppies.
Yeah, so.
But that's all I remember from that's the end it. Of the movie.
Patch's and Adventure, that's it.
That is that movie. Bradley, final score.
So, I think
this
I enjoyed...
wonderful movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed this movie. I don't know, it's a good message, you know, like he's one of a kind or whatever and all that good stuff. You know, I thoroughly enjoyed myself. Like, I don't know. I'll give it a 6. It's good. It's above average.
Yeah, I'm giving it like a 4.
What?
Yeah, no. Why? It could be a 5 if I had remembered the Big Ben. I don't think they made it a big enough deal about the Big Ben.
All right.
When they should, because they are in London. So because they didn't do that, it's like a 4. I was about to give it a 3, but I was like, you know, you give it a 6, maybe I'll bump it up to a 4. It's just so boring. It's just
what I realize about, like, as we do these rankings is that you'll just give, like, random points for, like, stupid stuff in the movie.
Yeah. So,
like, if I saw Big Ben, I would have given it a 5. It's like, what?
I'm taking a point away because I don't remember seeing Big Ben. Honestly, no, you know what? I'm going with my original scoring. I'm giving it a 3 because that Disney reference, the Miles reference, dumb. I'm taking another point away from that.
Okay.
And all also, right. It would have been interesting if the art guy, he would have also been like Cruella and be like, you know what? You're right. That is art. Let's talk about that. I feel like that would have been so interesting. If this artist man would have just, like, you know, at the beginning, he's like, whoa, you want me to make art with the puppies, not just, like, be inspired by them? You want me to, like, grab these puppies and, like, make them into art? And then Cruella would be like, yeah, of course, that's what I want you to do. And he'd be all like, that's super fucking weird. What do you mean you want me to do that? Like, it would be interesting if that would have happened, like it happened in the action movie. But then, like, this feeling of him of, like, wanting to be, like, a super recognized and super known, like, sculpture, artist,
yeah,
would have led him to, like, be like, you know what? I think this could work. Because, you know, Cruella was making good points. She was like, we could be recognized. We would be the only ones to have ever done something like this. We could be unique. We could be blah, 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 blah. She was making good points. So if he had also seen that, and he would have been like, you know what? I think you have a point with this. Let's skin these puppies and let's make them into art. It would have been I think that would have been cool. So I'm taking 1 point away because that was bullshit. I think they could have made him an interesting... I just have a problem, like, recycling villains. Like, I think if you're going to make a second part, like, either, I don't know, like, make a different villain or, like, give them, use the same villain, but give them a different motive. Cruella's just the same in both movies. And she even, like, tries to get over her addiction to skin of the puppies, to, like, the fur, by saying, like, okay, now I can, like, do this with art. She tries to, you know, calm her instincts to have puppy fur by looking at the art and having the art. And then she realizes, you know, it's not enough. But, like, she even tries to redeem herself. And that's just bullshit. Miss Cruella, she would never be kind-hearted enough to be like, I have a problem, let me address it. So, I think if they had made him a better villain, or they would have, like, you know, given her a different, what's the word?
I don't know, motive.
You know what I mean. Probably. You know what I mean. Like,
motive is good.
Yeah. A different personality, a different, you know, end goal. It would have been a lot cooler.
That is a very interesting take. I think he's just supposed to be comedic relief, but I mean...
I think so too, but that's what I'm saying. They could have done more with him.
It's pretty deep for a Disney movie, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well... But
for a Disney sequel, nonetheless, you know?
True. Like, true. But, especially in, like, the early 2000s. That was, like, the worst decade of Disney.
Yeah, except for, like, Cinderella 2. Or 3, sorry. But, yeah.
True. All right.
3 for you, 6 for me. there you go, right?
That's okay.
That's the London Adventure.
That's the London Adventure. So moving on.
Jungle Book 2, Electric Boogaloo.
No, Shere Khan Strikes Back.
Oh, Shere Khan Strikes Back. Yeah, that one.
No. Okay. Which, honestly, right now, piggybacking off of my thoughts, they're reusing the same villain with the same intentions as, like, the last movie. The Jungle Book 1 and the Jungle Book 2 have the same villain. It's just Shere Khan trying to kill Mowgli
but Shere Khan has, like, a legitimate reason, though. Like, Shere Khan in the first movie, he just doesn't like people, but in the second movie, he's like, I need to get back Mowgli. Like, it's a revenge story of, like, like, you tried to kill me, basically, with fire.
Mm-hmm. Right? Well, that's what you get. You're a bitch.
Cruella is what I'm saying.
You what?
I'm saying it's more legit of a reason than it is Cruella. Like, Cruella,
I fully agree. Yes, no reason. I fully agree. But it's the same villain.
It is, yeah.
And the Little Mermaid too. They don't bring back the same villain.
That's
you know. Also, Ursula dies.
She dies. Yeah.
What do you know? You haven't watched Little Mermaid.
I went on the ride.
Oh, true.
And I also know that she dies. Like, I'm not totally oblivious to everything that happens in any Disney
guys movie. Riley hasn't watched Hercules. I know. Shocker. But
collective gasp fills the room.
Yeah.
How could he?
Yeah, well, literally, how could you? But it's okay. We're changing.
Blame my parents, okay?
We're getting closer and closer, boys and girls and theys and thems.
One day.
One day. one day.
We'll get there.
I was really, 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 really sad for one day. One whole day. I miss you really, really, really bad. Right. And a single tear trickled down my face as I threw your clothes in the fireplace for one day.
I can't believe you know all the lyrics of that stupid song.
I love how you know you're not even on TikTok and you know what song I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do, because I watch commentary channels that make fun of it.
As they should. Anyways, we watched The Jungle Book 2.
Yep.
Shoddy's movie, as I like to call it.
Shoddy, yeah.
So, okay, her name is Shanti.
Yes.
I will be calling her Shoddy the entire time.
Yeah, just realize, like, we're letting you know right now.
Yeah, it's like warning.
Disclaimer.
Warning, disclaimer. Her name is Shanti. We are well aware that Shoddy is not, in fact, her name. But I don't feel like calling her Shanti, because the first time that they called her Shanti, I said Shoddy.
Yeah.
And it just stuck.
And we just called her Shoddy.
So to me, she's Shoddy and nothing else. What?
And we just called her Shoddy the rest of the movie.
Yes. To me, she's Shoddy and nothing else. So this is Shoddy's movie. Mowgli is still the same dick boy that he was in the first one. So dumb.
I think he's more likable in this one.
No, I don't know.
But he's still a little bitch. A little bitch. Yeah, baby, really crying about everything. He's even been adopted into this family, and he's still crying about bullshit.
He's still crying about it. They're all also, they're all, like, moping in this movie. For some reason, no one can just, like, move on. Like, Shere Khan, he's still super revengeful. He won't, you know, let it go. He just still wants revenge. And he's like, I just want to kill this boy. It's like, get over it. You're still alive. Just run away. He almost defeated you the first time. Stop being so conceited, thinking that you can beat the man who almost fucking burned you alive. Baloo is just moping the entire time, missing Mowgli. It's dumb.
Which is fine, but no, it's just the fact that literally every character in the movie is just moping about something.
And Mowgli's just moping about not being able to be in the jungle again. Like, oh, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
You just shush. You shut it.
It's annoying, but...
Everyone's just moping. Anyways, the movie starts, they're in the village, they're living their best life, and it's boring while they're there. There's, like, one good song, but honestly, all I can remember was an okay song.
Jungle Rhythm is alright.
The what? Feel the Jungle Rhythm. Never mind, I do remember the song. It was a good song.
Yeah.
It's a good song. Yeah, I enjoy it. But it's a good addition. Honestly, I don't care about him. About that whole first part of the movie, I don't care.
Yeah, no, I think that it's just there to establish the human characters and his relationship with, like, the family that he has now.
Yeah, I don't care.
But, yeah, no,
Does it even matter? Because he went into the village in the first place because of Shoddy.
Yeah.
He saw Shoddy, and that's what he was like, oh, we gotta go into the village. So it's not even because he wanted some sort of human relationship with people except, you know, Shoddy.
No.
Like, does it even matter? Because at the end, he also, like, at the end of the movie, when he decides to, you know, go back to the village and leave Baloo, which they also start moping about, and but at the end of the movie, when he decides to go back into the village, it's not because, like, oh, my adopted parents are so nice and I love them so much. It's literally because Shoddy's there. And he's like, you know what? I kind of want to go with Shoddy.
Well.
Fuck Baloo. Not bros before hoes. Okay. It's hoes and then bros.
Exactly.
Let's go with Shoddy. And
he breaks the bro code, dude.
Yeah, he literally breaks the bro code by going after Shoddy.
I think there is Mowgli, a moment.
Youth bitch.
There is a moment where...
There is a moment, and I know exactly what you're talking about, when he realizes that everyone in the village is looking for him.
Yeah.
And he's like, wow, all of them looking for me?
But the deciding thing is Shoddy.
Exactly.
The deciding thing is like, because he's thinking about it, and then he looks at Shoddy, I think.
Exactly. Like, he has that whole moment. He has that moment, that whole moment where he realizes that the whole village is looking for him, and he's like, is Shoddy also looking for me?
Yeah.
Like, oh, man. Just, no. It's not bro. It's bros before hoes. Leave Shawty alone. Don't get me wrong. Shawty a little baddie. Shawty a little boo thing.
Okay.
She's a bad bitch.
But she's definitely better than Mowgli. Like, I like her way more than Mowgli.
No, yeah. I like her a lot more than Mowgli. But not worth it. Stop. Do you know, I don't care about Mowgli. I don't care. Anything that he does will just anger me. He like, wants to go to the jungle. Dude. Stop moping about it. He wants to go back into the village. Stop following after the one girl that pays some sort of attention to you. It's weird. Literally, I don't like Mowgli.
In the movie, he's like complaining and they're like, we need to find Mowgli. I'm like, just leave him. Just like
literally just leave. Yeah. Literally just
like he's leave causing him. He's causing he's so much trouble. It's not like he's even helping the village that much.
Exactly. He survived that amount of time by not being in the village. He can keep surviving. He has a bear friend and a panther and vultures and Phil Collins.
Yeah, Phil Collins. Phil Collins is in this movie, and he doesn't even make any of the music. He just plays a character.
Yeah, the Phil Collins vulture, Lucky.
Who makes fun of Shere Khan the whole time.
Yeah, that's his whole thing.
His whole character is that he's kind of insane, so that he's, like, insane enough to, like, talk shit about Shere Khan, like, in front of his face. He, like, gets really close to Shere Khan, and at one point we think that he gets, like, killed by Shere Khan.
But he doesn't.
But he doesn't. He gets out of it somehow. And
we'd never shown that.
Well, they show later, I think he has, like, a black eye or something.
Right, yeah.
So Shere Khan just punched him in the face. But I think it would have been better if he just killed him, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because Lucky is kind of annoying, to be honest.
But it's Phil Collins, so we accept it.
But it's Phil Collins, so it's like, okay, fine.
Whatever. Yeah.
Phil Collins, but, yeah.
Yeah, he said, hey, can I make the music for this movie? And they were like,
they're like, we already got some.
My sound a little bit too much like tar sand. So no. We don't want people to think that we're just copying Tarzan with this movie. So I think we'll just give you a random character, Phil.
Disney was like, all right, Phil, look, Phil. We know you're on this number of movies in your contract. You have to be in this number of Disney movies.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of music, we're just going to give you the side character.
Yeah, because again, if you did the music, it'll just like, the similarities would be too evident.
Exactly.
They'd have to, you know, do a whole case of where, like, you know, Jungle Book and Tarzan are not the same movie.
Yeah, but exactly.
It'll be too much work for Disney. So we're like, I don't, you know what? Let's just write like two songs and keep using Bare Necessities the entire time.
Yeah.
And I think that way we can pretend that it's not Tarzan.
Yeah, exactly. It's not Tarzan at all. Like, it's not the same vibe or anything like that. No, but Phil Collins would have made it Tarzan, basically.
It would be.
It would have sounded like Tarzan. But
that is something, again, it's that I did say right now. There's two other songs, and the rest of the time, it's just Bare Necessities.
Yeah, and it's not like the first movie. There was a lot. Like, there's three songs in the first movie, and there's, like, four in this one. But, you know, they're still good additions. Like, they're not bad songs. Like, I know you were moping
about
the King Louis song isn't in it until the end, and it's this weird rock version.
Yeah, it's a weird rock version during the credits, but it's awful.
The Wild song that Baloo sings is like, it slaps. Bobbing a little bit. No. And then Jungle Rhythm is good too. So
I like Jungle Rhythm, and then the new Baloo version is just the Wild song. I don't like it.
I don't think it's supposed to be a copy either. It's just set it's in not. Same place, so you were just complaining the whole time. You're like, where's King Louis? And I had to explain to you that he got crushed.
Yeah, where's King Monkey? I want King Monkey back. I like
Where's Monkey?
Where's Monkey? I like King Monkey.
Insert.
I remember him dying. You know? So Riley told me the sad reality.
Yes.
But the Wild song is just dumb. Because it's like a dumb song that they made up simply because they had him say that he was a party animal, you know. When Mowgli's trying to teach him to like growl, roar,
yeah,
scream. I don't know. When growl. He's trying to teach him to be like a bad ebb.
Well, he wants him to scare Shawty.
Yeah, he wants him to scare Shawty. So he's trying to teach him to growl, and he's like, "I can't do that. I'm a friendly old bear." And
except
he's like, no, you have to be an animal. And he's like, I'm not an animal like that. unless it's at a party, of course. And it's like, oh, shut the fuck up. And then they had to make a whole song about it. That's dumb.
Well, they didn't have to, but they did.
Well, they did.
And it's even dumb. Like a little dumber. Funny adult joke that none of the kids would have gotten. But
even as an adult, it's a dumb joke. It's not a funny joke. It's I thought it was dumb. Well, your sense of humor is destroyed.
I thought it was good. I was
totally. I don't like it. It's a dumb song. Look, and again, you're in this entire. No.
Yeah, you're just moping about King Louis now.
Moping about King Louis because I miss King Louis. He was one of the best parts of the first movie.
He's dead.
He was
literally
one of the best parts of the first movie. And they're going to bring me back into the place where I had one of the best songs. You know, I Want to Be Like You happen in the same place where Baloo sings Wild. And they're going to bring me back only to remind me of that, you know, King Louis is no longer around. That's emotionally cruel.
Okay.
To me, someone who only watches Jungle Book for King Louis' part. And then not only that, but at the end of the movie, they make the weird version of I Want to Be Like You, but it's a rock version and it sounds awful. Like at the beginning, it sounds kind of jazzy and you're like, oh, okay. No, it's a rock version and it's awful. I'm not going to recognize Wild as a good song simply because it's in the same play where King Louis is supposed to be singing, but it's Baloo. And I don't like Baloo. So fuck up. Fuck off.
All right, Alice. It's a pretty good song. Just because you're moping about King Louis is whatever, all right? You can have your dumb opinion about King Louis, you know. And look, I love King Louis, right? But he's gone.
Clearly not enough.
He's gone now. No, I just know how to move on. All right?
Mourn
You're still mourning, and you're in the five stages of grief. I'm already there, all right? I'm done. Okay? King Louis, he's gone. Right? And I moved on. And I love Baloo. Baloo, especially now that he's voiced by John Goodman, which is another note that I have. I love John Goodman. And he's
perfect.
We all
love John Goodman.
He's perfect for Baloo. He's even better than Bill Murray was, to be honest. Like,
take that back.
No, I love John Goodman as Baloo. He just, like, fits it more. Like,
You're right. Like, I do love Bill Murray.
I love Bill Murray, too. And he's great as Baloo, but I think that John Goodman is a better Baloo, in my opinion. And he does a really good job with The Wild and with other songs. And I think it's a good way to connect that whole party animal line back, which they could have just left. But
they should have just left.
No. It's a good addition to the.
It's not.
To the
it's
repertoire.
Not. It's an awful song.
To the Jungle Book. Why
did they never give Shere Khan a song? Why doesn't he get a song? The good like be prepared type song.
That's a good question. I don't know. I think they could.
That could have been better than fucking Wild. That's
maybe.
Dumb.
That's
if they're already bringing Bare Necessities, they don't have to give Baloo another song. They already keep bringing back Bare Necessities. It comes back every 5 minutes in the movie.
That's true. I guess Shere Khan.
Let Baloo die with Bare Necessities.
No, give someone else a song. I think Shere Khan.
Give someone else a song.
Oh, maybe Tony Khan isn't good at singing, and they were like, all right, well, we're not going to. That's who voices Shere
Khan. That doesn't matter. There's been multiple times where people who aren't that good at singing have been able to record. Like, you think Bill Murray is that skilled? No, yet
no.
He did Bare Necessities justice. He did it justice. Do you think fucking Christopher Walken? It's
well,
good at singing.
He does a little. He does his weird like talky singing thing. Like,
yeah, I've heard it. I was literally watching a video today about like the live action singing.
He scares the shit. Like he's a giant orangutan, and like King Louis is, and he's voiced by Christopher Walken. He scares the shit out of me, to be honest. Like
well,
he's like sitting in the darkness.
What do you mean, Christopher Walken's the best?
Yeah, he is awesome, but he's
no one
scary.
Ever voiced by Christopher Walken would be scary.
He's scary.
Yeah, you're right. He does. Anything, but even he like does it justice to it. So I can name multiple times where like people who aren't that skilled at singing end up singing songs. They could have done the same thing.
They could have, but they didn't. They didn't give Shere Khan that song. So
they should have.
Get over.
They should have given him a song.
Maybe
it would have been cool.
Maybe.
Just again in the style of like be prepared kind of shit.
Yeah, maybe they just didn't want to make him a Scar clone, to be honest, because he gives me big.
The way that
he slinks around, I don't know. He just looks like
True.
Scar to me.
But everyone knows Scar is better.
I don't know, maybe. I haven't seen The Lion. Gotta watch The Lion King, man.
Right. Scar is so much better than Shere Khan. My
controversial opinion that Shere Khan is better than Scar.
You're so... Oh, no, no, no,
I didn't say it. I said stay tuned. Right? So, we'll see. You know?
But we're going before I got into my whole thing about party animal. It's so well, dumb.
So he does that, and then
about Mowgli the music. Runs... I was talking about the music. There's like three songs.
Yeah, there's like three songs. One of them is Bare Necessities. Well, oh no, okay, and there's Jungle Rhythm too, which is good, and then Wild, which I think is the weakest of the three.
Just from bringing Bare Necessities back, we can see how, you know, even the creators of this movie couldn't move on. Just like the characters can move on, you know, Mowgli, Jungle Man can get, you can take the man out of the jungle, but you can't take the jungle out of the man. And Baloo is just like, oh, I miss Mowgli. And then Shere Khan is like, oh, I want to kill Mowgli. And no one can get over anything. The directors and the producers of this movie also couldn't get over fucking Bare Necessities. So they just have to bring it back again.
Look, Bare Necessities is a classic.
Okay. Oh, please.
It is a great song.
It's boring.
Okay. Well, you sound a lot like Alice, Amanda. Just saying. You're bringing up some memories that I had when I talked to
the movie. Is so dumb, though. The
devil woman. Who thought that Baloo was terrible or whatever.
Devil woman.
Yeah. That's what they call
Cruella. Alice or Cruella?
I think that's both. I think they totally both fit that description.
Okay.
But, yeah. And then they have the final battle with Shere Khan, right? At the temple.
It's also very dumb how they defeat him by, like, knocking on gongs, yeah.
So Baloo and Shoddy like run into each other, and they're like, you better, you know, they have this whole like stare down moment because they don't know if they're both helping Mowgli, but then they both, it's like the Avengers moment where Star-Lord and Iron Man, he's like, what am I supposed to say, Jesus? And then they find out they're both fighting.
Where's Thanos? Gamora? I'll do you one better. Who is Gamora? I'll do you one better. Why is Gamora?
Yeah, exactly. They have that moment of like, we're fighting on the same side thing. So they both start banging on the gongs to like get Shere Khan away from Mowgli.
Wait a minute, you're against Thanos? Well, let me ask you this. What master do you serve? What master do I serve? What am I supposed to say, Jesus? Yeah. You're from Earth. I'm not from Earth. I'm from Missouri. Yeah, that's on Earth, you dipshit.
Yeah, exactly. So they have that moment.
Dude, with the Avengers, man.
Oh, the Avengers. So then Shoddy is banging on the gong too much, and her gong like collapses, and then Shere Khan goes after Shoddy. And then Shoddy and Mowgli are running away from Shere Khan. And they make this jump over this magma. Like, I don't know if they're under a volcano or something.
It's just fucking lava.
Of lava. And they make the jump. Shere Khan jumps after them.
Is so dumb. How, like, Mowgli and Shoddy made the jump. And then, like, Shere Khan trying to jump. And he almost doesn't make it. Or, like,
He takes they're a bad angle. Children with
small legs. He is a full-on tiger. You're telling me that he can make a bigger jump as two children with very small legs? You're fucking... Get out of here.
Look, he doesn't make the jump.
Get out of here.
He takes a bad angle at the jump. He doesn't get there. And
get out of here.
Falls into the pit of lava. Well, he falls onto a rock, which, by the way, it looked like he just got crushed by that statue.
He falls and you think, oh no, he's gonna fall into a lava, but it's Disney. They can't just animate a tiger being consumed by lava.
Yeah.
So he falls into the one remaining rock in this river of lava, and something else him.
Yeah.
But it's like the Mushu, like
it's like a dragon statue.
Yeah, it's like the Mushu statue where, like, you can kind of get through the teeth. There's, like, an opening there. So that's where he ends up.
And then Phil Collins' character, Lucky, comes back and starts making fun of him. Because he can't escape.
Yeah. But big question. Where the hell is the small child that goes around with Shoddy while this whole thing is happening? Baggy.
Yeah, but that's what Baloo calls Bagheera the panther, Baggy. Right? Yeah. And so they're
really?
All together.
He's with Baggy during this whole thing?
Yeah, so Shadi's with Ranjin, and then Baggy and Baloo are like, they're all like, okay, we gotta find Mowgli. So then Shadi's like, no, it's too dangerous. So Ranjin stays with Baggy.
Huh. Okay. Yeah. I was literally wondering. I was like, where the hell did that child go?
Yeah.
Because it was following Shadi everywhere. So I was like, where did he end up?
Yeah. Well, Baloo goes after Mowgli first, and then the kids come in, and then Baggy's like, all right, you should stay with me, Ranjin. And then Shadi goes and says,
so, Baggy's so responsible. Love it.
I love Baggy.
I love Baggy. Him.
Yeah. But yeah, and then Mowgli chooses to go back to the village.
No. Mowgli chooses to go back to the village, but reluctantly. Because for some dumb reason, because they're all dumb in this movie. Because they're all fucking dumb as shit in this movie.
So mad, dude.
Mowgli and Baloo are like, again, moping and being all sad and being like, I just, I'll never see you again, you little man cub. And he's like, oh, Baloo, I'm gonna miss you so much. And it's like this like big goodbye where like they'll literally never see each other again.
Yeah.
Where, like, you literally just jumped. You literally just fucking jumped the rocks and you're there. Why can you do that? Literally, why can you do that? And then they realize it. But they have that whole entire, like, sad moment for no reason when they can literally just see each other every single day.
Yeah.
I think they just decide to make a sad moment and a mopey moment for literally no reason.
I think I pointed that out while we were watching. I was like, Baloo, you could literally just live right next to the village.
Literally.
You could see them every day. Like, it's not that.
Or just set on a time to like meet up every day.
Doesn't have to be that dramatic, but it is for some reason. Yeah, and then but they actually made it. That's then, what happens.
Literally, the next scene is just them leaving to get water, quote unquote water, but truly they're just gonna go hang out with Baloo.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly. So
look at how simple it fucking was.
All for naught. The whole movie didn't need to happen again.
Yeah, and Shadi disappoints me.
Why? What's wrong with Shadi?
Because, like, the entire beginning of the movie, she's just talking. Like, I was just reminded of this. The entire beginning of the movie, she's just talking about, like, how they shouldn't go to the jungle. Because Mowgli just wants to go back to the jungle, and he wants to take everybody with him. And they're just talking about how, you know, she's like, no, you shouldn't. Because Shadi's responsible. Shadi knows where it's at.
Yeah, I love Shadi.
Yeah, she's just responsible. She's like, no, you dipshit. We're not going to the jungle like we're not supposed to do. But then, Mowgli and Baloo goes look for Mowgli in the village. And he leaves with the Mowgli. And she immediately, like, starts running after Mowgli. It's like, no, don't give up your morals and your, like, Don't give up your beliefs for this man who wanted literally to go to the jungle. If he went to the jungle, I don't shit if it's a dangerous place. Just let him go. He wanted to. She grabs the fire and she just leaves. Like, Shadi, nuh-uh.
Well, because she likes Mowgli.
No man worth it. No man is worth you running into the jungle for them. Absolutely not.
You know, she thinks it
is absolutely not.
And here's the thing. I have faith in Shadi. She'll get over Mowgli at some point. And if there was ever a Jungle Book 3, it would be Shadi is married to someone else or not married at all.
But you watched the live action, right?
Yeah, but it's not a sequel or anything.
So Shadi wasn't in the live action?
Shadi's not in the sequel or in the live action, though.
Good.
Yeah, I don't remember how it ends. I don't think he leaves the jungle at all, I don't think. I think he stays in the jungle all the time.
Yeah, that would have been way better. Shadi's life immediately improves if Mowgli was not a part of it.
Yeah, agreed. So,
but yeah. That's all I really have to say about this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I think I've hit all the points, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm disappointed in Shadi. Shadi, do better.
I think she'll do better in the future. She'll figure
it out.
Like,
you're already a badass, and you're already great, but, like,
true.
Do better.
Like Shadi. She'll figure it out.
I'm sorry that I'm then perpetuating the stereotype, but I'm holding the woman to a higher standard.
Yeah, you should.
I'm sorry.
You should. She'll meet those standards. I have faith in Shadi.
I care more about her success than Mowgli's success. That's why I won't hold him to a high standard.
Yeah. No, for sure. No, I like Shadi. She'll figure it out. I believe.
We all like Shadi. Ratings for this movie. What did I give the 101 Dimensions Boogaloo?
You gave it a 3.
A 4? A 3. A 3. So I'll give this movie like a 4.5.
Okay. So I have to sort of take my personal feelings out of this because I saw this movie. Now, I saw 101 Dalmatians also, the second one, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, you were calling a lot of things.
Yeah, like I watched the movie and I was like, oh, but I definitely remembered seeing Jungle Book 2 before.
I think I've also watched them both.
Yeah.
Too. Well, actually, I don't think I had watched Dalmatians 2 before, but I definitely had watched Jungle Book 2 before. I just didn't remember it.
I'd seen both of them, but I only remember Jungle Book 2. So there's that whole nostalgia thing about it. So I have to try to take that out. And I have to say that this movie is like a 4. It's, despite all of the fun characters that I like, and the music is good for the most part. I don't know. I just don't
think. It's better, to me, honestly, it's better than the first one.
I agree. It's better than the first one. So maybe I'll
you give the first one a higher rating than a 4.
I think I gave it a 4 also. So maybe I'll give it a 5, or maybe I'll just change my original Jungle Book rankings, but it's like a 4, but I'll give it a 5. I'll give it a 5 so that it's better than the first one, because it is better than the first one. And I like Shoddy, but other than that, there's like no other, like there's no new characters that I like other than Shoddy, to be honest.
And Phil Collins' Bird.
Yeah, but I don't really care. Like, if he wasn't in the movie, I wouldn't. Like, I love Phil Collins. His music is great. And he's funny, but he doesn't add that much to the movie.
He adds a lot for me. He adds two of those 4 points that I gave it.
Okay. You could just take him out of the movie and he wouldn't, like, the movie wouldn't be any different.
He'd give the movie a 2 on my rating.
You could just still have the vultures, the beetle vultures.
They did nothing. It was only Phil Collins' vulture.
But that you did could something. Put them in that place is what I'm saying. You can just have the vultures making fun of Shere Khan the whole time.
But none of them would be the same thing as saying, you know, Phil Collins' voice is this vulture.
I don't know. They all sound British.
Doesn't have the same feeling that, you know, random man voice this vulture to like Phil Collins. Well,
I want to say that I only knew that it was Phil Collins because I looked up the voice.
Because we looked it up, but
the cast.
Like, again, I don't think I would have known because when we looked it up at the beginning of the movie, and we were like, "Oh shit, Phil Collins is in this," and so we waited for his character to show up, and then he started talking, and I literally turned to Riley, and I was like, "I don't think I would have ever known this was Phil Collins. I didn't know Phil Collins sounded like this when speaking."
Yeah, me neither. I wouldn't have known.
So I wouldn't have known, but I'm glad that I do. And honestly, the fact that I know and it's Phil Collins gives it 2 whole points, which really goes to show that, you know, all those like star-studded cast, even though they're horrible movies, like all the live-action ones, they're just so awful. But because The Lion King had Beyonce, I think it's an extra point. It's all Beyonce. Right. That movie was awful, and I watched the whole thing. So it goes
from like a 1 to like a 2.
But it had Beyonce. It had Donald Glover. I'll give it points for that.
All right.
Yeah, I'm who they're catering. I'm the audience that they're trying to cater to.
No, I agree. They're definitely not catering to me with that.
Yeah, so. By casting all these like big names.
Yeah.
I'm that audience.
Yeah. Well, and like I said,
I'm sad to admit it, but I am.
So there you go. I give it a 5, you give it a 4, 2 points for Phil Collins.
4.5.
4.5, sure.
2 points for Phil Collins, half a point for, well, 2 points for Phil Collins, 1 point for the Jungle Rhythm.
Sure.
And then the other 1.5 for Shoddy.
Okay, whatever, fine. I'll give it a 5.
Like, Shoddy is like 0.5 away from being Phil Collins.
Sure. Okay.
Again, she can do better with her time instead of going after Mowgli in the jungle.
She's not gonna
stick and almost being eaten by a tiger.
She's not gonna stick with Mowgli. It's
really not worth it.
She's not gonna stick with Mowgli. You'll see when they make the Jungle Book 3.
When they make the Jungle Book 3, I'll be working at Disney and I'll make sure she's not with Mowgli. I'll be like, nah, bitch, nah.
Yeah, you do that.
Anyways, this has been another episode of this wonderful, beautiful, gorgeous, enormous. You know what, Riley? Why don't you do the outro this time around?
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this wonderful podcast, even though nobody asked for it. see you next time when we talk That's about
awful
other outro. Fun stuff. You wanted me to do the outro. I'm not going to do your weird, I'm going to use 15 words in the outro thing, okay?
My outros are better.
Your outros might be better only because they are more creative because you just have to think of some weird word. Mine's just like, all right, thanks, guys. And, you know, because I'm a normal human being. And you're just like, let's use wonderful in this sentence.
Are you calling me abnormal?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I think that's a fair.
All right. Well, we're going to go fight now.
Okay.
Everybody.
Yeah.
I'll punch him. I'll fly to his undisclosed location.
And don't worry, everybody. I'll punch.
All right.
Fight of the century.
Goodbye.
It'll be like a 5-second fight.
Goodbye. I think it cut off when you said that, so they'll never know what you're going to do to me. Goodbye.
It'll be a 5-second fight.